All right, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I'll read verse 16 and then from 18 through 25. Okay. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer together. How we thank you, our precious Heavenly Father, for this clear record of your word that explains to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came into this world, born of a virgin, that he is the unique, only begotten Son of God who went to the cross of Calvary and died in our place to take away our sins, that we might be your children and that we might have a home for eternity in heaven. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we worship you, we adore you, because you are worthy of all praise. Thank you so much for the salvation that you have given to each one who has put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, may your will be done today. Bless your word. We just thank you for this wonderful program this morning and for all those who are taking part. We thank you for the readings and the songs and all. And we just praise you, Lord, that you are such a great and wonderful God. Lord, help us to do your will and be faithful to you. Bless your word to each one of our hearts and encourage us and strengthen us. Take away the gloom. Take away the worries and fretfulness and fears. Help us to rejoice in all of your goodness to us. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here in just a few verses that we've read this morning, I know there's other portions that speak of this in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be looking at that on another time. But just in these few verses, it clearly explains about how Jesus came into this world. We've been singing about it now for quite a while, thinking about it and realizing what it means. We find three characters, only three here, in this portion of Scripture. We find Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, the newborn babe, right? So, Mary, we know, was a young girl, probably a teenager, a devout believer in the God of Israel, living a simple life when the angel Gabriel came to her and gave her this extraordinary news that she was going to be a mother. Can you imagine that? Here She was just going from day to day, living her life, and all of a sudden a visitor from heaven comes and says, you're going to be the virgin that brings in the Savior, the Messiah. So you're going to be the mother of the Christ. And what an extraordinary time that was. And she was a virgin, as it says here, espoused to Joseph. He was the carpenter there in the village of Nazareth at that time where they lived. And she was waiting for him. You know, we talked about this, I think, one other time, about the Jewish way of marrying. First of all, this would be chosen by the parents, probably while the children were just young. And they would decide, these are the two that are going to get married. This is something that's important. And we want them to be happy together. And so the parents chose. You might think that's strange to us here in the United States, but that's their method of doing it. And then they were espoused, it says. She was espoused to Joseph, chosen for him, not for anyone else, you see. And then betrothed. Betrothed means that they were promised to each other. And then marriage would come after a while, usually after a year. Once they would become betrothed, then after about a year, they would have the marriage ceremony. Step on the glass, you know, and all that, and they would be married, right? And anyway, we find here this virgin girl who is now going to give birth to this little baby, this little boy that's coming into the world. And her life is going to be forever changed. She's already gone through the period, right? 9 months. And now coming to Bethlehem, the city of David, right? The place where the prophecy says that the Messiah is going to be born. It all works out. We sang about, oh, little town of Bethlehem, right? A small, insignificant place, only it had been the birthplace of King David, the greatest warrior of Israel. And now, Jesus, the son of David, is coming into the world in this little town of Bethlehem. And so we find Mary already. It says she was found with child. And no doubt people talked about it. What do you think? Here's this young girl that's not married, right? And all the neighbors looking at her up. Every day she gets a little bigger, right? And they say, what happened to Mary, you know? Who's she been with? You know how it goes. The rumors get started and all of that. And she suffered through all of that. And she gladly accepted God's will. You know, she says, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Right? She was willing to do all of that and rejoiced in the honor placed upon her. So now the time has come for Jesus to be born. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. You know, as far as we know, no one ever called Jesus Emmanuel, you know. When he was out as a young man, young boy, playing out, mom calls him for supper. She says, Jesus! She doesn't say Emmanuel. And yet, it says they called his name Emmanuel. Who's they? You know, when you looked at Jesus after he got older, of course, his teachings and everything, you could see God in him. He, God with us. You see? He is the eternal God. From all eternity, He's been there with the Father. And He came to earth to reveal the Father to the people. Right? And then, of course, to provide salvation for us. Emmanuel. They called His name Emmanuel. And we see then Joseph, this carpenter. They tell us he might have been more like a stonemason back then. They used a lot of stone and things like that rather than wood. Wood, I think, was very expensive when I read. And so many times they used bricks and cinder blocks, I guess, that kind of thing, whatever it was they had back in that day. But anyway, he was a builder and no doubt made furniture as a carpenter. Worked with his hands. Verse 19 says, he was a righteous man, a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, Joseph discovered after a while, Mary was showing that she was pregnant. And he thought, what am I going to do? You know, this is, if she's been untrue to me and she's been with someone else and now she's expecting a child. And he says, you know, I'm just a simple man. I'm just a man who works with his hands and I don't know what to do. And he learned that he had to look to God for the answer, and no doubt was thinking about this. And it says he thought on these things, verse 20. You can imagine, can't you? I'm sure that's one of the things that he thought about a great deal. What am I going to do the rest of my life? I wanted to marry Mary. That's kind of Mary, got that? But anyway, he was perplexed. And he thought on these things, and he was wondering, what should I do? Should I have a quiet divorce? You know, at this point, when they were betrothed like this, the only way to get out of the marriage was to divorce the other party. And he was thinking about that. He didn't want to harm Mary. He, you know, the penalty for adultery, you remember what it is? Stoned them to death, right? This was the what according to the law. But from what I understand, they didn't usually do that at this point in time. They usually had a quiet divorce and sent them on their way somewhere else. Anyway, we find here, no doubt he was thinking, this is a terrible situation. He loved her. And yet, he wasn't sure he could accept another man's baby, right? And you can see that. He didn't want to hurt her. So he decided, he was thinking at least, about breaking the engagement quietly. But then notice, before he had the opportunity, God's always ahead of us. Did you notice that? He came to Mary and told him, or the angel did, came, God sent him. And now here, it seems that Joseph went by dreams at this point in his life. And here it says that the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary. So here's a message. Don't be afraid, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, how is this? Do you understand? She had a baby without a man. You know, just to put it, you know, the way it is. And born a virgin birth. I was reading a commentary yesterday, actually, and he said, I think he's a member of the Church of England. I don't know anyway. He says the church allows us to approach the virgin birth any way we feel that's right. But you know, when you read the Holy Scriptures, there's only one conclusion you can come to, that this was a supernatural event. The Holy Spirit of God came upon Mary in some way, and she conceived and brought this baby into the world. I don't know how else you can look at it, right? The virgin birth or the virgin conception, however you want to say that, God's the one that did it. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't a German soldier or anything like that, like some people try to say. No. It was a supernatural event. The Holy Spirit of God, who in time of creation hovered over the waters, he had a part there in the creation back in the beginning. The same Holy Spirit hovered over Mary and she conceived, right? It's a wonderful thing. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, who does? Nobody understands it. You accept it because God said it, right? That's the way it is. And he says, Joseph, thou son of David. Notice his lineage. We read that at the beginning. Joseph was a descendant of David, and Mary was as well. And it says here that Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, for of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. All through that first part of the chapter, it says so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, but it doesn't say that in this verse. Joseph did not beget Jesus. He adopted him, if you will. He became his legal father, but he was not the biological father of Jesus. That was God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit who brought him into being as a human being. That's, I think, about the only way I can see that. And I don't know what other viewpoint someone could have. Anyway, we find here that says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, right? Joshua, that's the Old Testament word, the Hebrew, Joshua. The Savior, Jesus, is our translation in English of that name, Joshua. And it means Savior. He is our Savior. There is no other Savior, right? Who else do we have? We've had some great men in history, but they are not the Savior. They can't have anything to do with our eternal salvation. But Jesus can. It says he'll save his people from their sins. Now his people, of course, at this point, was the Jewish people, right? Some people may argue with that. They could help themselves. But that's what he's saying. He came unto his own, the Jewish people. And his own received him not. But to everyone that received him, to them, gave he the power to become the sons of God. So we've opened it up. We can all come to the Lord Jesus. He is the Savior. And he will save us from our sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Now this is over in Isaiah chapter 7 where it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So here we have the wonderful prophecy. Hundreds of years before it ever happened, speaking about the virgin that was going to bring forth the Messiah, the Christ, who would come into the world to save us from our sins. We find this name of Emmanuel. It means God with us. Various ones recognized that Jesus was indeed God in human flesh. Elizabeth, you remember, it says, declared that he was her Lord. How is it that the mother of my Lord has come? That's what she said, wasn't it? And John the Baptist leaped in her womb. Boy, there's some strange things going on here, huh? But yet, it's wonderful to think that this brought great joy to them. John the Baptist said he came to prepare the way of the Lord. You see? He was quoting from Isaiah 40, verse 3. It says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You see? John the Baptist knew who he was. Christ was never called Emmanuel, but he proved that he was indeed God with us. By his sinless character, his infinite wisdom, and unlimited power. Even his doubting disciple Thomas was convinced, and he called him my Lord and my God. He saw the wounds in his hands and in his feet. He knew that Jesus was indeed the Christ. He had risen from the dead and was alive forevermore. So it's wonderful to think of all this. Jesus, of course, here is the center of attention in this beautiful story, rightly so. In his painting of the Nativity, Rembrandt, a great artist, he places all of the attention on the baby in the manger. He does it, like we have here, light shining on the manger. Are everyone else is in the background, in the shadows, but the light is shining on the baby and giving the indication that he is the one that we adore. You know, we honor Mary and Joseph for their dedication, what they did, but we don't worship them. We worship Jesus because he's God, and we can only worship God. He is the light of the world. The baby, Son of God, grew up and became the Savior of all those who believe in him. This is the only hope that we have, isn't it? That Jesus is our Savior, that he died on the cross for us, was buried and arose again the third day, and is ever living, someday coming again to receive us unto himself. We just need to place our faith and trust in him. I hope each and every one of us this morning has done that. If there's any doubt in your mind, you think, well, I'm not so sure. Well, make sure. It'll ease your mind during this season and during the rest of your life if you'll make sure that you really know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And as believers, we need to let our lights shine for him. Jesus said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our task, isn't it? To live our lives day by day, to let our light shine, to live a righteous and holy life as best we can, failing sometimes, but looking to the Lord for the strength to keep going and to let our light shine before others, and that they might also come to know him as their Lord and Savior. Father, once again, we do want to praise you and thank you for your word to our hearts this morning, and pray that we would continue to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you, and that we might let our light shine before others, that they might come to Christ as well. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.